Check, check.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude, we booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
How I stuttered with that. I'm used to boxing. I'm used to college basketball, college football. I almost said something completely different. But anyway, it's NBA playoff time. It's NBA playoff time. We do the college ball show, football, basketball, from late August all the way until a couple of weeks ago, right, with the national championship. Now the focus is 100% on the NBA. We're going to take it all the way to the finals, and don't stop then. On a weekly basis, by the way, we're not going to stop then. We're also going to go, through the draft, the NBA draft, and of course, we'll have a free agency show. That's usually the first week of July. It seems like teams or players are taking even longer now, too. So anyway, my co-host should be joining me very, very soon. Obviously, some storylines have happened through the first round, right? We're going to get into that. Couple of stories as far as the first round goes. The biggest one, though, I'd have to say, is the Boston Celtics going against the Chicago Bulls. And obviously, Isaiah Thomas Jr., in his tragic, event that happened, unfortunately, to his sister. So, definitely thoughts and prayers go out to the Thomas family. And I'll tell you what, though, through first two games, he's played pretty well considering the circumstance. And just how much does that affect the team? We're both going to give our take on that. Then the other major thing, Milwaukee and Toronto. And I'm waiting for my co-host here. I'm trying to text him and stuff. Milwaukee and Toronto. Now, Toronto got the job done. They hung on. Milwaukee stormed back, though. It did kind of look like, it kind of looked like, wow, here we go. They're gonna come back and win this game. It seemed like Toronto had enough cushion, had enough down the stretch. Obviously, it turned out they did, but man, for a while there, it was pretty rough. I was like, wow, if they go down 0-2, what the hell? So those are the top two series as far as what's gonna happen in them. Like, okay, these are pretty high seeds. They could go down. Obviously, Toronto has a first-round issue. Hold on real quick. All right, sorry about that. So I'm going to maybe I got to refresh my screen here, and I just couldn't see it. Nope. I'm probably, the live stream, the show was supposed to start a little earlier tonight, but I had to work a little later than I thought. So hopefully he can get in here before the live stream's done, because otherwise he won't be able to get in. So I'm just gonna give him a ring and see Marshall, my co-host. Maybe I should have made sure he was on the line, and ready to go before I started the show. I just assumed. I'm gonna get him on here. We're gonna go live with him. So anyway, obviously the Pacers. Obviously the Pacers. Ooh, we don't want to give away his number. Obviously the Pacers. That Pacers series has been interesting to say the least. I mean, really, it's been very, very interesting, man. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the hell's going on here. He should be calling in. Otherwise, I'm just going to do the show and move on. But as far as that, see, I'll just start giving my take on that. That what I was saying, though, is that Cleveland series, yeah, man, it has been great. And speaking of the Cavs, actually, it seemed like they had a big enough cushion to get it done last night, but it also seemed like that in game one, where it seemed like that every time they get up by 8, or even they'd stretch it to 10, next thing you know, you look up and you're like, oh my God, Toronto's right in the game, you know, and they stayed in the game, and obviously, you know, they had a chance to win the thing. Clearly, they had a chance. And I'm just going to give them I'm going to give them another ring here and see what's going on. But that has been a good series. And speaking of, that Portland series with Golden State, that first game, through a good chunk of it, was very entertaining. Talking real entertaining here. Let's see if we can get him on the line here. All right. So, if he doesn't call in a little bit, we're going to just go solo and it'll be a short show. But I'm kind of scatterbrained right now because I'm trying to get a hold of him and texting and shit like that. So let's just focus in here. Let's focus in. That game, though, that Portland game, I don't give him any hope to win the series, you know, no doubt about that. But that was a really well-played game, and it was, I believe, one of the – I can't remember the rating, but it was a really good rating, like one of the best first-round ratings in a long time. So it was a fun game. Definitely had a lot of fun watching it. And then Golden State just basically took it over, right? They just took it over. So let me see here. So as far as the Celtics go, they're down 0-2. They lost tonight. And from what I could see, I was at work, but I'm watching the game while I'm working. I do work at a bar, so that helps. And while I'm watching this stuff, I'm looking and I'm keeping an eye on it, and it just didn't really ever seem like I said, I didn't see a lot of the first half. I know they were in the game in the first half, but come fourth quarter, it was like, where are they at? You know what I mean? 111-97 is the final tonight with the Bulls. Really spread. As far as starting lineup spread offense, and I don't mean football. I mean, they really spread it around. Everybody, in a game like this, you're going to have a lot of pluses. The whole starting lineup had huge pluses, with the plus minus. But across the board, you know, you had two people in 20. You had Lopez had 18. The lowest score in the starting lineup was Rondo. But, hey, you know, when you have 5 steals and 14 assists, that's pretty good too, right? Maybe they're playing like the super team that was built in the off season finally, right? Okay, maybe not. But they shot the ball very, very well. I'm looking at the turnovers. They only turned the ball over 10 times. They took 25 threes, made 10 of them. That's 40% clip. Didn't get to the free throw line a whole lot. But like I said, I mean, how much does Isaiah Thomas Jr., you know, the unfortunate, and he had 20 tonight. He didn't shoot the three that well, obviously. The free throw line, he struggled as well. And, you know, that may be some focus there, obviously, as well. But they didn't shoot that bad. But they had a lot of turnovers. 16 turnovers. So there's just a couple of minutes. And this is crazy, man. So, anyway, I'm going to give him a ring and see what the hell's going on with Marshall. But, I mean, we know it's going to affect him. And in game one, he sure played pretty well, right? In game one, he played really well. And some people now are kind of looking at this situation, and they're saying, maybe they should have pulled that big move. They got the number one seed. Even like, you know, I'm talking about before we found out about the tragedy and all that. I'm going to try to give Marshall one. He literally has like 70 seconds to call in.
You have reached the voicemail box.
Oh, man. All right. Anyway, that's so weak. Okay. So hopefully he jumps in the next 60 seconds. You hear the woman. She's very stern, and when she says 60 seconds, it's going to be 60 seconds. You know, just like I said, just looking around, though, you had Johnson, you know. He had 4 points. Hortford, he had a nice board game, but, you know, he only had 7 points. I just, like I said, it's hard for me to give my full take on the game because I was just peeping in on it. But I don't know. Of course, this is going to affect him majorly. But how much does it affect, you know, I'd say kind of, especially the first game, but the first two games he's played well enough probably to win, right? He's probably played well enough to win. Does it affect the player? Does it affect the players? You know, I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting look at it. Does it affect the other players? Now, I'm not trying to say, well, the other players we should feel sorry for too. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying overall that just that downer of the mood, the mode, you know, how energetic, how great a mood is the locker room going to be in? Really? I mean, how much are they going to be, you know, and that's tough, you know? So, I mean, to be honest with you, you're kind of walking on eggshells around him, I'm sure. Do you really want to be that happy around him right now? I'm just being honest, you know? So I think obviously it plays a part. We may be finding out just how much of a part it plays because, you know, they're down 0-2. Can they come out of it? Yeah, I mean, it's only 0-2, but we know, especially in the NBA, it's not like just a hot goaltender, right? It's rough, man. It's rough. So it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for the Celtics. So, you know, they ended up not making a big move per se, you know, come trade deadline. And then they get the first seed. They get the number one seed, and here they are down 0-2. So it's just a rough situation, man. And obviously the tragedy had to have had some effect. Clearly. Let's talk about Toronto and Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee pretty much handled them, Toronto, on the road. And it was the way they did it. You know, beating Toronto in the first game of a series, that's not really, even if they're on their home court, that doesn't say much, right? Because remember last year, didn't they lose every first round in the first two rounds? I believe every, not first round, that they'd be out of the playoffs at that point. No, but I believe they lost both their first games of each series in the first and second round last year. So obviously you don't want to get into that habit, right? Ibaka looked like he had a pretty good game, right? Lowry jumped back, got to the free throw a little bit, got 22 points. Looks like DeRozan had a nice game as well. Had some boards to go along with it. They got some contributions off the bench from Joseph and Patterson. Even 5-5 from Tucker off the bench. That's just good stuff, you know, I think. They shot from three. The Raptors, three-pointers tonight, almost 50%. 14 of 29. Got to the free throw line 25 times, but they didn't really shoot it that well from the line. So they were able to get it. Like I said, you could kind of see them pulling away. And then it got real close at the end, real close. Now, Giannis had 24 points, 15 boards, 7 assists. Didn't shoot the ball that well, 9 of 24. Got some help from Middleton. Now, God, you look at their starting lineup, and you're just like, how are they getting this done? Monroe had a pretty nice game, I'd say, especially off the bench. Didn't rebound a whole lot, but, you know, it is what it is. So it's 1-1. Milwaukee's got to be feeling pretty good about themselves, I'd say. And Toronto, sometimes the old, well, we've done this before, we got it. Well, hold on now. You can't keep going to the well. You know, you keep pulling from the well, we know what happens, right? It dries up. You can't always do that. So they better tighten up a little bit, right? But to be honest with you, I like Milwaukee in the series. I really do. It's easy for me to say, oh, I like Chicago in the series too, because, you know, they're down 2-0 now. But, I think Milwaukee's going to beat them. I really do. Lowry is a pretty damn good player when he's on. It seems like, though, as they go, or as he goes, they go. And so, I don't know. That's a lot of people complaining about the Memphis and San Antonio game, the refereeing. And when you look at the stats, you know, yeah, I can see that. You know, I can see – I didn't see the game, unfortunately, but I'm just going to bring up the stats here. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm not as planned out as much as I thought I'd be. I'd have more notes and stuff like that if I knew I was going solo tonight. So, I apologize. But they got 15 times Memphis went to the free throw line. Okay? Compared to 32. So there's something there, no doubt about it, obviously. 31 of 32 for the Spurs, though. Wow, that's impressive. Some of this, though, unless you're saying that, you know, is the argument that they weren't calling the fouls on the Spurs, or they were just bending over backwards to make sure the Spurs won their first two games in one game two, and so they would call ticky-tack whatever on Memphis. That part I don't know because, like I said, I didn't actually get to see the game. But when you shoot 38%, you know, that has something to do with it as well. But like I said, did they get fouled on a bunch of those shots? Or not a bunch, obviously not a bunch, but enough of them? Or were they just, you know, and we all know, like if a referee, you know, unit, I've never called a referee staff is what I was going to say, and then I switched it to unit at the last second. I'm going with that. The ref unit, the team, right? If they're going to call it real tight to the vest, then you do have to adjust. But if it's kind of one-sided or full-on is one-sided, then it's tough because how do you play defense that crazy? You know what I mean? How do you play defense that intensely? You know? I don't know. That's a good question. All right. So they're up 2-0. Either way, though, San Antonio. Looks like they're rolling. That first game, they just dominated. You know, they start – actually, I do remember the first game because Memphis jumped out early, and it was like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, they're moving it. And but that was about it, early and often, but not often come the rest of the game. It was it got pretty ugly in that first game. That's for damn sure. Breaking down, like I mentioned, that Cleveland Pacers series has been very fun to watch. The Pacers just have, you know, and George, Paul George, they just have, you can't say they have his number, LeBron, because they don't beat him, you know, but they get him down, they make it tough. I believe, was it two different series? At least one series that they were down in the series late. They were down, I believe, 3-2. And then he went LeBron on him, and it was a wrap. But because I think that was the same year that the next round, I don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure the next round they were up 3-2. And didn't he go for like 40 and 18 or something like that, and just went off, and it was just a wrap, something like that. But looking at game two, game one came down to the wire. And Paul George says, that's my shot. I need to take that shot. They need to get it back to me. And the play broke down as a double team, right? It was a pretty crafty double team because it wasn't right away. You couldn't see it right away. It almost kind of looked like a zone that just, boom, all of a sudden LeBron got out there on him. So, and when it's LeBron on the help, that's helpful, right? That's very helpful. So, long kid and all that. A lot of people say, well, you know, old boy should have just passed it back to him. He was looking to do that, but I thought he got a decent shot off. I thought they got a decent shot, the Pacers. And if you think about it, it was – you had to pass. The problem is it seemed like, you know, a play or two before, a possession before that, maybe two possessions for that, where he hit that pull-up three. They got that screen out, and he just pulled up. It was pretty far away. It was pretty, you know, it was actually like maybe 19 seconds left on the shot clock. You know what I mean? He just pulled up. When he took it, I was like, oh, okay, you made it. Okay, you know. But he says, that's my shot. Everybody was saying that. They need to have, you know, he needs to take that shot. But when you look at you know, Paul George's last-second shots over the last, what, 5 years? It's actually not that good. He's more like Boy George than Paul George at that point. Playing basketball. I'm not trying to rip Boy George, by the way. I enjoyed his music. I just think that where he went wrong was if he wanted the ball back, he should have passed it quicker. Because you see, and maybe there was a screen coming. I couldn't really see because I never got an angle of it. But when so obviously, I can't remember if it was Smith. I think it was Smith. I don't think it was Kyrie. I think it was Smith. Maybe it was Kyrie. I think it was Smith. But anyway, he met him just past half court. The Cavs weren't going to let George do what he just had done the possession before or whatever it was, that three. That wasn't going to go down, not on their watch. So they picked him up a little bit early, right? And obviously the screen would have to come way out then, which, you know, there's something there that's helpful for the defense. And when that double came, like I said, it almost looked like he was looking a little to his right. He was dribbling through the legs. And by the time it came, the ball should have came out way earlier. So if he wanted to get the ball back, he should have passed the ball a beat earlier. And it probably would have resulted in even a better shot. You know what I mean? So overall, though, good fun series. Yeah, Cleveland's up 2-0, but still a fun series. You know, still a fun series. Really fun to watch. I wouldn't doubt if the Pacers win Game 3. I wouldn't be shocked on that one. That's for damn sure. What else we got? I'm not going to talk about the game going on this moment, the Clippers game against Utah. Obviously, Utah getting that shot up at the last second, kind of bounced on the rim. Joe Johnson. Hey, you want a guy to take a shot in the last little bit? Joe Johnson. In the last 10 years or something, he has 8 buzzer beaters. There's only 2 other guys that are even somewhat close to him, and they have 4. It's LeBron and somebody else. I can't remember who else it was, but because remember, LeBron never does good stuff at the end of games, you know? So that's an interesting series, and here you are. You're looking at the Clippers, and they're just – I mean, this second half better go good for them because they're in blow-up mode. Wasn't happy. I mean, why would he be? it's interesting, man, and I'll tell you what. Utah's not even full strength, dude. Not even full strength. So – because obviously we know, Gobert, he freaking hurt. And that sucks too, man. That really sucks. Speaking of injuries, I totally forgot. Can't believe I forgot to, I don't know what I was thinking. This is a major, major piece. Kevin Durant injured, left calf strain questionable for, would it be tomorrow night? I think it's tomorrow night, right? Yeah, Wednesday night, game 2, questionable. Suffered a strained left calf in the playoffs. You just never know. But Durant's strained calf is on the same leg. Suffered that grade 2 MCL. I'm reading off of the SB Nation. So that's something, man. I totally forgot about that because I hadn't heard of it. And then I saw it today at work, and I was like, oh, shit, really? Wow. When you have some injuries, you know, in the playoffs, it can be tough. Steph had something, never quite looked the same, although, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure if I 100% go with that because his return games, he was a stud after he came back from those injuries, so... It is what it is, but that's huge. That's huge with no Durant. I mean, they got their stuff. What'd they lose? Like 4 out of 6 when Durant, you know, right around Durant when he went down, and then they got their stuff together, and it seemed like they were rolling again. Draymond Green, just all over the court. All over the court, blocking shots. And this guy... He's fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. There's times where I'm like, all right, dude, just shut up for a second, you know? Just shut up. Be quiet. Plain is the only thing I don't like about him, because once you're like that, like, I don't mind that energy and that being a dick and all that. You know, I'm from Minnesota, dude. So, I mean, come on. Kevin Garnett was a dirty, nasty defender. And he was going to make you hate him. He was going to get under your skin. He was going to bring up your wife. Right? He was going to go all Roberto Duran on it. He was going to bring up your wife. He was going to bring up anything. I mean, remember Bosch admitted he was afraid of him? Nobody thinks he was a nice guy unless you play with him. Then you're like, oh, he's the coolest dude, and he's great to have on your team. Right? But... I never saw him flail kick people in the nuts as much. That's clear. And he gets away with it because he's goofy. You remember how Dennis Rodman was just goofy when he'd run? He'd run like high on... Oh, man. He'd run like high on his toes, and it was funny to watch him run. It was so unathletic, but it didn't matter. He was just running. You know, who cares how you look, how you run? But that's why I think Draymond, the first handful of years, was able to get away. And I don't mean your average, everyday NBA flailing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But he looks goofy when he shoots. He looks goofy at times when he moves. So that's just part of his demeanor, right? And so that's why he got away with it so much. But sometimes to complain about every single solitary call, it's like, dude, okay, man. You did some, especially when you look at the replay, like, dude, come on, man, you totally did. Like, complain about to the refs at times, yes. Of course you have to do that, right? You got to let your coach do it at sometimes, right? And same with, I mean, you can barely breathe on the Warriors now. And it's just, oh, my God, it just complains so much. And Steve Kerr's over there having a freaking hernia. Every call, they're just getting screwed. Everybody's getting screwed. Remember last year, the MVP's getting screwed. Call falls on the MVP. I mean, Christ sakes. You can't even look at him right. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It gets a little old. And I think it gets a little old because we already have people complaining to the refs. We already have flailing, right? That's just part of the game. But when a guy on every freaking call, it's like the worst call he's ever seen. It's like, guys, calm down. You won a championship. You almost won last year. Calm down, dude. You got Durant, although maybe not for game three, but you're not getting screwed, okay? You're not here getting screwed, you know? That whole mouthpiece thing last year was just, it was funny. You put LeBron in that situation, he throws a mouthpiece and it hits somebody in the face, it would be, the headlines would be almost comical, really, to be honest with you. So, man, I think the Clippers are going to find a way to beat Utah. I already called a couple of the other games, Chicago. I got Milwaukee. Got the, you know, the rest is pretty much easy to read, right? Oh, you know that Washington-Atlanta. That's, I forgot about that. Wizards came out, got the game one. So that's only had one game, right? I don't know who I'm asking a question to, because nobody's here. But I think that's just one game so far. Yeah, because they're playing tomorrow night. Houston-Oklahoma City. Man, how could I forget? How could I forget? The battle of the MVPs. It's a triple header tomorrow. NBA TV first. Tips off an hour before that Oklahoma City. I'm still stuck in college, I guess, right? The college ball show. By the way, the college ball show, whether it's football, basketball, or NBA playoffs and draft and free agency, it can all be found under the Rope-A-Dope radio podcast, right? You probably know that. But just letting you know, iTunes, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, of course, blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio is the home. That's where we stream it live, of course. But Oklahoma City and Houston, the battle of the MVPs. And there'll be more time to talk Cleveland and their defensive struggles, and their fourth quarter struggles, because, I mean, they're evident. The last 10 games, they've failed to score over a very low number. I can't remember what the number was, but it was kind of like the amount of points you're looking at, and you're like, that's it, you know? So there'll be on the next show, we'll talk about that, because I think they're getting past this anyway. And a lot of people thought, this is the year. This is the year. Well, Atlanta beat them twice down the stretch, but Atlanta needs to win to get to meet them, right? Boston said I was going to talk about in the future, but here I am. I'll talk about it a little bit. Boston got the number one seed, but even before they got the number one seed, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that was at home for Boston, that game late in the season where Cleveland got the job done, right, and they gained that lead. Now, obviously, they lost it because they lost Atlanta twice, but I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not saying that proves it all, but when push came to shove, it was a big game. They had it at home, I believe, and, you know, I just think that Cleveland's getting out. I guess maybe that's why I don't need to talk to them right about now, or talk about them right now. Plus, I'd like to have Marshall, the Golden State guy, on here to talk about it, because I know that we would have had a conversation. We would have had a conversation about that. But anyway, Houston, Oklahoma City, like I said, battle of the MVPs, Harden and Westbrook, 118-87, just shellacked them. 3 of 11 from 3 was Westbrook, 6 of 23 overall, did have 7 assists and 11 boards, of course, but that's not going to get it done. Gibson didn't really do much. Adams, not really. Didn't do a whole lot. Oladipo was 1 of 12, 0 of 6 from 3. That's not good. So they shot as a team pretty badly, right? I think that's pretty clear. You know, and I didn't really think much of Oklahoma City in the way of advancing. You know what I mean? I just didn't. Now, at the beginning of the year, I didn't think much of Houston, to be honest with you. And I got to give, you know, I would have liked to have a debate here. I still think you give it to Westbrook, but it's a strong argument to give it to Harden just because he just because he didn't average a triple-double. His team, you know, a lot of times the team plays into it as far as where you end up, and they were, what, the third seed, right? So, I don't know, man. Really spread offense, though, in the starting lineup. Harden went for 37, 9 assists, 7 boards. He was 3 of 11, took 28 shots, but he hit 13 shots, got to the line a bunch. They shot good overall from the field. Not really from the free throw line, that's for sure. Let's see what they... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just didn't... It's not that I didn't see Houston able to hang with Oklahoma City or anything. I just didn't see, like, a complete slaughter coming game one. I mean, you don't get that many in the playoffs like that anyway, but... We're going to have another show probably next Monday. Will we have some series over? Potentially, yes. Potentially, yes, we will. But maybe not. You know what I mean? Hopefully, we got some 2-2s, 3-2s, 3-3s, 3-2. You know what I mean? Hopefully, we got a couple of those. I'll be honest. As a basketball fan, NBA fan, the first round normally doesn't do much for me. I mean, I'll watch the tight game. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to try to watch them. Right? I'm going to watch them, but at times they just, you hope for just good games because you feel like you're not necessarily going to get a good series. But the way it's set up, you know, even if the Celtics lose the series, well, they could still push it to 6 or 7. That wouldn't shock me. Milwaukee-Toronto, I think that's going 6 or 7. I mean, I got Milwaukee taking it. So the Utah Clippers, that could go 6 or 7. I don't exactly know what's going on right now because I'm going to watch the second half on DVR when I'm down, but I don't know. Last year, it seemed like on paper we were going to have a great first round, right? Because remember the year before that, 2 years ago, we had a – were there 3 game 7s? I believe so. It was a great first round. And then we're like, oh, man, the second – dude, it's 2 years in a row, and it didn't pan out as much, but who cares because we had a great finals, and we had a lot of fun stuff happen in the Western Conference last year as well. So overall, we'll be back, like I said, Sunday or Monday. And we'll be breaking down all the action, whether it's recap, whether it's debate, whether it's banter, whether it's predictions for Game 7, Game 6s. I mean, it's only Tuesday. And, yeah, I suppose they're only getting the Game 2 in 2 series tomorrow. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see about that Durant thing, man. That could be huge. Because when you do get an injury, sometimes – you know, you feel like you got to baby it a little bit, and next thing you know, you're tweaking something else, you know? So I'm going to get out of here. Tomorrow night, of course, the Rope It Up Radio podcast will be in full effect. And join us then. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of the week. Let's hope for some good-ass games. All right, peace.